As election time rolls around, what do Christians and pro-life people need to do?
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Brothers and sisters, good evening. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Thank you for joining me. It's great to be with you again, live as we are. And each night at 9 p.m., I'm going to be joining you. Between now and the election, November 6th, we are going to delve deeply into what is happening in this election, what we need to do about it, and we're going to win some pro-life victories. We're going to be very unapologetic about what we are saying, very clear about the direction we need to go, and absolutely unafraid in exposing the wickedness, the lies, the deceit that are threatening this nation, that are threatening the church also. And we are just going to be as clear as crystal, bright as the noonday sun. And some of you have already been with us for a very long time. We've been talking about the election for a very long time. Now we are really ratcheting things up as we get into these final weeks before Election Day, and I'm always so inspired by seeing all your comments, by seeing the numbers of people that we are reaching. We're reaching hundreds of thousands of people with these broadcasts, hundreds of thousands, and we expect that to just continue to grow, especially as we get close to Election Day itself. Well, we're going to just talk a little bit more informally tonight. You know, most of these evenings when I'm with you, we have the fancy cameras on. Tonight, I'm simply using my iPhone. Most of the time, I have some of our technical staff here. One of our newest employees, Rob Collins, comes in the evening, and we've got our state-of-the-art cameras and video editing software and special graphics and audio. Tonight we're doing it a little more simple, and it's just me here in the studio. But one way or another, every night we're coming to you, and we're going to be, like I said, giving you some straight talk. We're calling these pro-life MAGA broadcasts. The president has been having the MAGA rallies. So many of you have the MAGA icons and hashtag on your social media platforms. And of course, MAGA is Make America Great Again. A lot of you wear the hats. I'm getting a new one. I'm expecting it to come tomorrow, and I will be wearing it on these programs. And, you know, it's making America great. I mean, patriotism is a virtue. I want to talk a little bit about that. I want to talk about some of the questions that some of you have been sending me as we've been doing these broadcasts. We'll answer a couple of those questions. I'm going to answer one of the questions of what's some of the best reading that I would recommend between now and Election Day. And then also, what kind of things are most suitable to bring to your pastors between now and Election Day to communicate to the congregation, no matter what denomination you might be. So those are the things I want to share with you tonight. But first, why don't we go to my book, Pro-Life Reflections for Every Day. Now, I hope you all have your copy of this book. It's a daily devotional. There's a scripture reading or a quote from another document or a saint. There's a brief reflection tying in that little quote with the pro-life issues, and by that I'm specifically talking about ending abortion, and then a short little prayer. 1 minute a day, nurturing your pro-life convictions. So, let me read for today, October the 20th, from the Gospel of Life, number 20. In what way can one still assert that all people have dignity while the killing of weaker and more innocent people is allowed? Reflection. St. John Paul II continued, in the name of what justice is the most unjust of discriminations practiced? Some individuals are held to be deserving of defense, and others are denied that dignity. When this happens, the process leading to the breakdown of a genuinely human coexistence and the disintegration of the state itself has already begun. End of quote. Abortion, in other words, is not just an issue. It deteriorates the very foundations of civilization. Let us pray. Preserve our society, O Lord, by freeing it from legal abortion. Amen. You know, the MAGA movement is great for many different reasons. And if you listen to the rallies that President Trump is having across this great nation during these days, which I hope you are watching them all in their entirety, I certainly am, from beginning to end. And that's why we've put the links right on our website at prolifevote.com. And that, all throughout this, the rest of this election season, as we have been doing already, that will be the main place that we're pointing you to get all this information, all these resources, all these action items, all these updates, prolifevote.com. You'll see links right there. You'll see right at the top, watch President Trump's rallies. And one of the things that's been happening in those rallies is he's been pointing out the different ways that he and his administration, the Congress and others, all of us faithful patriot citizens, are working to make America great again, to make it strong, proud, respected, safe, holy, pro-life, economically strong, militarily strong, strong borders, protecting its sovereignty, and strong in values, strong in family. Making America great means a lot of things. And so when you watch and you listen and you measure and you understand the progress that has been made, well, brothers and sisters, it's inspiring. And you see that there are many different issues at stake, many different dynamics in play. And we are committed to many different principles. The principles, first of all, of common sense and fairness, which, as we've seen by their recent antics, the Democrat Party has thrown out the window, making them clearly no longer fit to govern. But also the principles on which this country was founded very explicitly by our founding fathers and rooted in our Declaration of Independence and in the Constitution. So when we say MAGA, that little hashtag, that little keyword, that covers all these different things. It covers a beautiful kaleidoscope of ideas and principles, values, and progress. And progress is being made, for sure. You listen to these rallies carefully, you'll see what I mean. And that's one of the things that, point I'm making here is when we say these are pro-life MAGA broadcasts, pro-life because it's integral to what making America great again means. And the people I know, all the people I know that adhere in a patriotic way to this philosophy of making America great again are strong, strong pro-life people and allies of ours. And I'm grateful to you for that. But you know, I find it interesting, and this comes to the point of answering some of the feedback I've been getting from various viewers and people on social media. You know, it's very interesting to see the level of prejudice that there is out there, the level of prejudice that there is to someone like me or someone like you who speaks up on social media against what we are saying. And when I say prejudice, remember, you look at that word very carefully. The first part of it is PRE, pre, in other words, in advance. In advance of what? Well, in advance of listening, reading, looking at the evidence. Prejudice. You judge, you prejudge. You judge about someone, usually against them. You judge against them before you have read anything, listened to anything, understood anything of what they are about. And so people will come along and here's the irony of the whole thing. They'll say about President Trump or about the Republican Party, they are prejudiced. Well, look at yourself in the mirror, those who are saying this. When's the last time you went to the White House website whitehouse.gov, and read for yourself the policies coming out each day, the speeches of the president, the administrative and executive documents that come out there that show you the work that is being done every day for our country and for your freedom and for your security and for your economy. Reading the agreements that are being made, the press releases that are being sent out. Well, when is the last time you went to the White House website to hear right from the source what this administration actually thinks? I'm not saying you're going to necessarily agree with it. Now I'm talking to the people who are criticizing us. I'm asking if you've even read it. You can't say anything about what the administration or the president stand for if you're not letting them speak for yourself, for themselves. You got to let them speak for themselves, and you've got to take the time and the effort, use the muscles in your eyes to read what they're coming out with. That's one thing. And then, of course, you got a lot of people who are in a very strange way, and they say it to me because I'm a priest, implying more or less that you can't be a strong MAGA American patriot and be a Catholic. Now, that's something very weird about that. Very, very weird. Patriotism is a virtue. And in fact, few presidents have been friendlier to the church, more protective of the freedom of the church than the president and the administration that we have right now. We know that firsthand because the freedom of the church was attacked under the Democrat administration of President Obama. And you might not realize it, how deeply it has been attacked, but it was under attack. We were under attack. We as Priests for Life and as employers who are also believers, we were being told that we had to do things that we objected to, such as provide abortion in our health insurance plan that we offer to the 50 or so employees that we have on the payroll. We weren't going to do that, so we challenged the mandate of the Obama administration. We introduced a federal lawsuit early in 2012. And indeed, we ended up winning. Part of the reason we won, the case came before a certain judge in the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals by the name of Brett Kavanaugh. And he protected our religious freedom. No citizen should ever have to feel that they are faced with a choice between following the law and following their faith. And that was the essence of the argument that enabled us to win, together with many, many, many other plaintiffs who challenged that particular law. So what I'm saying is it'd be hard to find an administration and a president more on our side as a church, defending our freedom to live the faith, preach the faith, proclaim the faith, do the work that we do in service to humanity. And that's just one of 1,000 examples of why Catholics, Christians, believers should be enthusiastic about this administration and about this president and about this party and about this election and about this movement to make America great again. And we'll go into the other reasons as we go along here, but be careful. There's a lot of people who, they put on the religious garb, okay? They put on the religious language, and they start judging the president, and they start judging the party, and they start judging people like me. Oh, the judgmentalism, it's with lightning speed. Some of them like to quote Pope Francis, but there's a quote of his, I think, that they forget. Who am I to judge? Who am I to judge? So, brothers and sisters, some of the things that people have been asking me, what's some good reading between now and Election Day? Well, let me give you a few suggestions. First of all, Dinesh D'Souza, Death of a Nation. I've shown you this book before if you've been watching my broadcasts. I'm making my way through it. The movie is out by the very same name, Death of a Nation. Wow, you need to see this movie before the election, if at all possible. And this book, Plantation Politics and the Making of the Democratic Party. He delves into, in depth, in a very persuasive way, what the mindset, what the driving principles of the Democrat Party are. And you will be surprised. Because again, the accusations that they make about what the Republican Party is like, this book shows that actually they should be making those accusations about themselves. Death of a Nation. Dinesh D'Souza, do everything you can to get this book and read it before the election and tell other people about what's in it and to watch the movie. Now, some of our MAGA pro-life broadcasts that we'll be having will in fact delve into this book in more detail. You want to read something great before the election? This is the book to read. Second thing to read, a lot shorter than this book, is this little document. It is called Living the Gospel of Life. And again, if you watch our broadcast, you've heard me and some of the other members of our team speak about this very frequently. Living the Gospel of Life, a Challenge to American Catholics. This is a document that the United States bishops wrote, and it's already, it seems like yesterday, because I was working at the Vatican at the time that this came out, and I was sent some advanced copies to look at, and it really just seems like yesterday. It's very short. In fact, this little printed copy is 26 pages. But it is a powerful statement about voter responsibility, candidate responsibility, the American principles, as I was just talking about, that we as Catholics defend. If you want to know if a Catholic can be a MAGA patriot, well, this document will show you how. Living the Gospel of Life. Now, even though it's a Catholic bishop's document, those of you that are not Catholic, you'll find a lot in here that you're going to like, especially if you are a patriot. And this really helps us to explain why we hold the people that we elect and the people who ask for our vote to certain moral standards, like the obligation to start by protecting life. You know, you start by protecting life before you start to talk about the quality of life. And this is where so many people have it so mixed up. Let's just take an example in your own life, a very radical kind of example. What is more of a priority? If you're in a situation where you have to save your life or save your house. Now, it's a terrible choice to have to make in the first place. Nobody wants to lose their house. But what if you had no choice? Well, obviously, you protect your life before you protect your possessions, right? You're not going to sacrifice your life to keep your car, because then keeping your car is not going to be possible anyway if you're not alive. So life is more important than possessions, isn't it? If you had to sacrifice a limb in order to stay alive, if you had some kind of terrible disease and the doctor said, oh, I'm sorry, we have to amputate your limb or more than one limb in order to keep you alive, again, life takes priority even over bodily integrity. Life takes priority over everything. You're going to preserve your life before you start talking about the quality of life. Brothers and sisters, when we talk about the role of government, the role of politicians, the issues that are at stake in the election, the same principle applies. What is most fundamental and most urgent and of the top priority is the protection of life. Now, that's not to say that those who come along with policies that protect life aren't also going to give you a good quality of life. As a matter of fact, that's the way it does work. Somebody who is got the sense, has got the respect to protect your life, is always also going to have the respect to enhance your life. make a long story short, read this document, Living the Gospel of Life. Where would you get it? Go to gospelofLife.net. gospelofLife.net. That's one of our websites. And there you'll see not only where you can get the text of this document, both in English and in Spanish, but you'll see an online study guide to the document that my pastoral team at Priests for Life and I have written. And you will see various other commentary about it. So, Death of a Nation by Dinesh D'Souza, Living the Gospel of Life by the American Bishops. And then finally, let me recommend one of my books. I've written four, but this is the one I would recommend reading before the election. Abolishing Abortion, How You Can Play a Part in Ending the Greatest Evil of Our Day. I like to call this a pro-life manifesto. A pro-life manifesto of, over 200 pages. But what I do in here is answer the question, what are the next things that the church and the state need to do to end abortion? And one of the key things I say that the church needs to do is overcome its fear about talking about politics. Now, I wrote this before there was a candidate, Donald Trump, for president. And he came along shortly, his candidacy came along shortly after this book was published. And boy, was I happy to hear him start talking about the very things I wrote about in this book, namely that the church has a muzzle, often self-imposed, about talking about not just political matters, but talking about any matters that they think might reflect one way or the other on political parties or candidates. And it's got to stop. It's just got to stop. And the president said it's got to stop too. You know, when he started campaigning, he was seeing that so many of these pastors liked him very much, were agreeing with the things he was saying. But then when he was asking for their endorsement, he found that they were not doing it. And he said, why not? He said, oh, well, we're actually prohibited by law from doing that. And he said, what? And this so-called Johnson Amendment, which of course is interpreted very vaguely, there's really no defining of terms that go along with the prohibition of churches and tax-exempt organizations from intervening in politics. And this is one of the reasons why it's got to go out the window. And in fact, that's exactly what the president is advocating, that it go out the window. Legislation's been introduced in Congress. But meanwhile, as that legislation makes its way through Congress, he stopped enforcement of this so-called Johnson Amendment against the churches. He issued an executive order to say, pastors, you can speak your mind. And I've certainly been doing that. I'll continue to do that. There's nothing going to stop us from doing that. Speaking about pastors, so these are the three books, of course, and to get this one, abolishingabortion.com is where you can go to get it. Now, what do we bring to our pastors? I want to recommend two things. You've heard me talk about them before if you've been following at all my broadcast. One is a little prayer campaign, prayer website. We're going to say this prayer at the end of our time here this evening. I won't keep you too long tonight. Election prayer, electionprayer.com. Very simple. Again, if you go there, you'll see this prayer, which we'll say together in a little bit. You'll see it there in English and in Spanish. You'll be able to order these nice little prayer cards, but hurry up. Election day is right around the corner. But if you bring this, if you say to your pastor, and this is a Saturday night, so if you're going to church tomorrow, if you didn't go already tonight, mention it to your pastor. Electionprayer.com. Electionprayer.com. He can go there and see the prayer, say it in church, put it in the church bulletin, link to it from the church website. Any number of things can be done to get the people praying about the election. If they're praying about it, they're thinking about it. If they're thinking about it, maybe they'll do something about it. Electionprayer.com. The other thing you can bring to your pastor and should bring to your pastor is this piece of paper. Now, this is a comparison of the Republican and Democrat platforms. Now, every 4 years, the parties issue their party platforms. The last one was issued 2 years ago, 2016. That's still the current version. And the platform says where the parties stand on various key issues. So we've taken about a dozen issues, and all we've done is lifted quotes from the party platform. This can be obtained. I'm going to give you the website. Write it down. And again, you can let your pastor take a look at it. Votinginfo.net. Votinginfo.net. You'll see it in English. You'll see it in Spanish. You'll be able to order these from us. You can call us. In fact, we have a very easy phone number to remember. I'm going to give it to you right now. 321 is our area code because we live right by the Kennedy Space Center where the rockets go off. So they count down 321, liftoff. So 321 is our area code. 500-1000. That's our phone number. That's it. 321-500-1000. You can call. You can call right now. You get the answering machine. You can call Monday. The staff will be there. And say, Father, I want some of those. I want 500 of those comparison pieces. Or you talk to your pastor tomorrow. Hey, are you willing to hand these out in the church? Oh, come back, order 500 of them, or whatever quantity you can use. On that website, votinginfo.net, you'll even see a legal letter there explaining why it's perfectly okay, even under that Johnson Amendment, which is going out the window anyway, for the churches to distribute this. Why? Because it's neutral. And we're going to have in some of our programs, by the way, we're going to go into depth about this Johnson Amendment. We're going to go into depth about what I say in my book about it. We're going to go into depth about why a guide like this is legally permissible for churches to distribute. You are not breaking any law. Those of you that are pastors, listen up. You are not breaking any law under the sun by distributing something like this. And one of the reasons is it's neutral. It quotes from the party platforms, period, amen. It just gives you what they say. That's informing the people. That's not intervening in an election. That's equipping the people to take their rightful part in the elections. But obviously, they can vote whichever way they want based on the information. The information is just information. It's neutral. And it covers a wide range of issues. So those are some of the criteria behind why anyone who knows what he's talking about when it comes to the laws, the tax laws of the United States of America, will tell you those are the two key criteria for being able, in a church or any other kind of tax-exempt organization, to distribute something like that. So, one more thing. You know, during the course of the year, we have these various prayer campaigns, and one of them, of course, as I've already mentioned, that's underway right now, is the Election Prayer Campaign, so electionprayer.com. But at various times we have other prayer campaigns, or novenas, and one of them starts today because about 9 days, on October the 28th, is a day that's designated as Priesthood Sunday. So I, as a Catholic priest, all of us as Catholic priests, appreciate your prayers. And Priesthood Sunday is dedicated to holding in prayer the priests of the country and of the world. And so we have a prayer campaign. Now, prayercampaign.org is our prayer website. And if you go to prayercampaign.org, you'll see the prayer I want to also say with you here for priests, because again, the campaign starts today. Not only will you be able to download it in English and Spanish, you'll be able to let us know some of your own favorite priests in your life, especially if you're Catholic, and how have they inspired you, how have they helped you and your families. It's good for us to express our gratitude and to pray for priests. So prayercampaign.org/priesthoodsunday is where you'll find this, or you'll just go to prayercampaign.org and you'll see the link there, together with some of the other current campaigns. So let's say this particular prayer, and then we'll say the election prayer to conclude this evening's broadcast. Let us pray. Father, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our high priest, and you have given us the gift of the priesthood to continue his saving work. Bless our priests and give us more of them. Make them holy. Strengthen them to proclaim the gospel of life and to defend the rights of all, especially the unborn. Bring us, your priests and people, to the life that never ends. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. So, a simple prayer for priests, and We certainly appreciate your prayers as you hold us up in the service of the Lord and His church. So as I mentioned, the election prayer again, electionprayer.com, and we are very, very excited about this prayer campaign. You can co-sponsor it, by the way, if you have an organization, even a small one, or a church. Otherwise, just let us know on that website that you're saying it as a family or as an individual. And let me once again, before we say this prayer, urge you to join me every night at 9 o'clock. We're going to delve into a lot of topics between now and Election Day, and we're going to give you a lot to do. ProLifeVote.com, our main election website. You can sign up to help us out in different ways. Now's the time to push. All hands on deck. Pull out all the stops. Let's get some good, strong victories for America and for pro-life. And MAGA pro-life broadcasts every night at 9. So let's say this election prayer together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, we acknowledge you today as Lord, not only of individuals, but of nations and governments. We thank you for the privilege of being able to organize ourselves politically and of knowing that political loyalty does not have to mean disloyalty to you. We thank you for your law, which our founding fathers acknowledged and recognized as higher than any human law. We thank you for the opportunity that this election year puts before us to exercise our solemn duty not only to vote, but to influence countless others to vote and to vote correctly. Lord, we pray that your people may be awakened. Let them realize that while politics is not their salvation, their response to you requires that they be politically active. Awaken your people to know that they are not called to be a sect fleeing the world, but rather a community of faith renewing the world. Awaken them that the same hands lifted up to you in prayer are the hands that pull the lever in the voting booth, that the same eyes that read your word are the eyes that read the names on the ballot, and that they do not cease to be Christians when they enter the voting booth. Awaken your people to a commitment to justice, to the sanctity of marriage and the family, to the dignity of each individual human life, and to the truth that human rights begin when human lives begin, and not one moment later. Lord, we rejoice today that we are citizens of your kingdom. May that make us all the more committed to being faithful citizens on earth. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, friends, thanks for spending a little bit of time with me. Join me each night. Make sure you're signed up for the notifications on this Facebook page so that you are notified when I go on live. And please share this with others. Please spread it to others. There's never been a more important time to do that than now, because we need all hands on deck for this election. And we'll be talking about this from every angle and going into great depth and detail as these days go on before Election Day. So, join me again tomorrow. Looking forward to talking with you. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. May God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And let's together make America great again. God bless.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.